Solomon begins with in this chapter. So we'll go back to verse 1. We'll read the first 8 verses. That's the first part of his context here. And then we'll jump back into the notes tonight. Now, I have a goal that we're going to get through 8 verses. That's my goal. Some goals are meant to be set and met. Some are just goals. But we'll see what happens. So, verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Lord, thank you that we can be in your house tonight. Thank you for those who have made the sacrifice to be faithful on a Wednesday night. I pray that our time is not in vain. Know that the Word of God never returns vain, but much of what will happen tonight depends on our heart. And I pray that we'd be open. I pray that you'd speak to us, remind us of some truths that we already know. I pray that you'll guide our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Roman numeral 2 is where we are. It's the sermon on the problem. And Solomon has spent chapter 1 and chapter 2, dealing with or speaking to us, reiterating, giving argument after argument about the fact that life is empty. It's like chasing the wind. It's vanity. There's nothing there. And so now he's going to re-examine his findings. He's going to go back through in some ways and just kind of reiterate to himself or to you and I as hearers some of what he's already said. I've outlined it this way, and you can see it there on the screen. He's a confused man. And if you've read through Ecclesiastes, you know that Solomon goes on kind of a roller coaster ride. He's emotionally up and down. He's spiritually up and down. He is at times stable and other times not stable. And he's confused about his own conclusions. He's come to many conclusions, and then he comes back and almost rethinks them. And so the very beginning of this chapter and the very opening phrase, the very opening parts of chapter 3 all have to do with time. Number 1, in the outline, it's a matter of time. And he tells us that time just keeps on ticking. Now, these are verses that you probably know. You maybe can't quote them verbatim, but a lot of what's found in verse 1 through 8, we reference or we say it sometimes by slight, just not recognizing that that is coming from maybe these verses of Scripture. But every day is a gift. God gives you another amount of time. Maybe he gives you all 24 hours of that day. Maybe you don't have all 24 hours guaranteed to you. But every day, God gives us the opportunity to have more time. You can't go back and glean what you had yesterday. You can't purchase more to store up for later in your life. It's a gift from God. There's nobody ever who's ever been able to stop time or change time. It's all in the hand of God. And maybe, just maybe, it's the most valuable treasure that we have because it 100% is from the Lord. So I want to try to categorize these 8 verses. I want to show you how that Solomon uses them to illustrate some things about everyday living and some things that we already know. Number 1, or letter A, by way of outline, there's a time of consideration. We'll walk through each of these, and at best I can, depending upon how you want to break the verses up, there's about 12 that are listed with these different categories where Solomon says, here's a time of this or a time of that. Turn me down just a little bit. And he begins with, to everything there's a season. Time's precious, isn't it? Because time represents your life. Isn't it amazing how we gauge our life by time? Your age is gauged by time. Some of you have had a lot of time. Some have had less time. But time is precious. Time is precious to those who've been told they only have months to live, or days, or hours? You ever sat with a loved one or a friend who's in the last hours of their life? That time's precious. And there's nothing you can do to regain it or to go back. Time is precious if you're behind. If you're behind at work, every little minute counts then. If you have a boss that's a stickler for you clocking in on time, if you work by the hour or you work by a time clock, time's precious if you're in traffic. Time's precious if you're a minute behind. It doesn't matter how you look at it or how you illustrate it, time is valuable. Time allows us to accomplish tasks that need to be done. It's a gift that we have the opportunity to do the will of God. You have one life to do what God wants you to do. He's given you time and space to do that. He's given you time so that you might trust Him as your Savior. You know, think about this. If you're saved, time is on your side when it comes to eternity. But for a lost person, time almost becomes their enemy or a burden, because for the rest of eternity, they will spend time suffering. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that I know that my eternity will be with the Lord. The gift of time is a blessing. It's an indication of your progression on a scale. It's an indication of your existence. Either, get this statement, either you master your minutes or you become a slave to them. Somebody wisely said, you will either use time or time will use you. Everybody gets the same amount. If you can't accomplish what needs to be done in the same amount of time that somebody else gets, then there may be some time management that needs to happen. There may be that time is mastering you instead of you mastering it. Isn't it amazing how often we talk about time? What time is it? What time is dinner? We use time all the time. I don't have time. How many times have you heard that? We speak of it. How long will it take? It always is framed around time. It's extremely valuable. There's a little poem entitled Just a Minute. You remember this poem? Maybe you've heard it. Just a tiny little minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Solomon said, there is a season for everything. So what does Solomon mean? Well, the word season there carries the idea that there is an appointed or there is a set time for everything. And then he goes on to tell us some of what those look like. Now, this is the most inclusive list in the Scripture, but it certainly is not all inclusive. There's more things you could add to this list, no doubt, than what's found in these eight verses. But there's an appropriate time for everything. The word season carries the idea that there's a set appropriate time for all of these things that are listed. So let's look at them. Beginning in verse number 2, he tells us about them. Letter B, there's a time of commencement. Notice verse number 2. There is a time to be born. And there is a time to die. Well, that's pretty basic. There's a time for you to be born and there's a time for you to die. Verse 2 through 8 almost really tells us what happens between birth and death. Here's a listing of the things that take place during that time. Did you know you don't have any control over either one of those? You don't have any control over your appointed time to be born. I understand we live in a world today that says, well, you know, the doctors can now do an induced labor and they can schedule that your baby will show up at this time. But you don't have any time, any control over when you were conceived. You don't have any control over that. That's in the hands of the Creator. Nor does anyone have control, or we ought not have control over our death. I know that there's arguments that say, well, if a person's life has been taken, then someone chose to take that life, and I get that. I understand the practical application of that, but I also believe in a sovereign God who's over all. And Solomon is simply illustrating there is a time for all of that. Now watch. God had a plan for when you would come into the world. How many of you are glad you weren't born in the 1800s? There's a time God chose, for whatever reason, God chose for you and I to be on the earth at this time. She's thinking that through, thinking surely there's nobody listening to me that was born in the 1800s, but suppose that's possible online somewhere. God had a plan for all of that. The Bible says in Galatians 1, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, here's what we know. We understand that when the time was right, at the appointed time, and at the appointed place, Jesus Christ was born into the world in the town of Bethlehem. It was an appointed time. The Creator understood that. That also means there's a time, a season, for you to be born spiritually. John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in the same passage, Jesus told Nicodemus, he must be born again. There's an appointed, appropriate time. There's a season for us to be born. Your days on this earth are recorded before you ever came into existence. God knew when you were going to be born. God knew where you would live. God knew what existence you would have. God knew all of that. And if we can learn anything from the birth and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was all in the foreknowledge of God. It was all in the times of eternity past when God knew that the Son would come and would be born on this earth, but also when He knew that the Son would die. You know, there's great comfort in that for you and I in the world in which we live, because it also means that there's a time that will come for you to die as well. If Jesus tarries, that'll be the case. Now look, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a specific day planned for Jesus to die. It wasn't a day before, and it wasn't a day after that. He didn't die until the hour appointed by the Father. It wasn't as if people didn't try to take Him to the cross sooner. It wasn't as if mankind didn't try to take Jesus' life earlier. They plotted and conspired against Him to kill Him. But every time it failed. Jesus didn't die until the hour appointed for Him to die. Can I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, the same is true of your life. And it doesn't matter if there's a shot or a vaccine or some kind of pandemic. When God plans for you to be in heaven, that will happen. We don't live in fear because of that. We know that there's an appointed season. There's a commencement. There is a plan for us to live and a plan for us to die. Notice in verse number 2, there's also a time to plant and a time to pluck up. Now, both of these carry the same picture of life, new life springing up, and of death or being plucked from the ground. There's a commencement in the matter of a seed. The Jewish people were certainly familiar with planting and harvest season. They knew all about that. And if you've ever tried to grow a garden, or if you've ever tried to plant anything, you know that there is a time to plant, and it needs to be at the right time. If you plant too early, it ain't no good. If you plant too late, it ain't no good. There is a season where it falls into that category that is good for growth to happen. But there's also a time of harvest. I know this. There's a right time to harvest certain things. If you harvest too early, don't do you no good. I've picked a lot of corn over the years too early. It's not real fun to eat a corn cob with no kernels on it. Not real enticing. By the same token, if you pick the same ear of corn too late, ain't no fun either. When I was a kid, they called that field corn, where you just left it and picked it whenever you got ready to eat it. That's pretty hard and chewy. You ever buy corn from the store or from some kid on the side of the road and think, my goodness, that's chewiest, toughest corn I've ever had in my life. There's a season. There's a right time to pick. There's a time to plant. And there's a time to pluck up. By the way, did you know that same thing can be applied, that same verse can be applied to the harvest of souls? There's a time when some folks are ripe for the gospel. And that's why it's important for believers to be concerned that we must go, and we must go now. Because if God gave us a time clock and said that on this street there will be these people who will be ready for the gospel, we would all go. But we don't know. And so we must always be active and ready so that in that time, if God has someone ready and the Holy Spirit's working, then the gospel seed can be planted and they can be saved. But I'll tell you this, sometimes if we wait too long, that same heart can be hard. And they may push off the decision of salvation. There's a time for everything. There's a season. There's a time in our life when we begin new projects. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up. There's a time in your life when you need to pluck some things from your life. We'll revisit that later because Solomon brings it back up. Planting has the idea of depositing into your life or into the ground or into your heart that which will grow and be prosperous. Plucking has the idea of pulling up the roots so that it cannot remain there any longer. There's plenty of illustrations and pictures of what that. Do you know that may mean that there could be some times of difficulty where if you don't pluck it, God will pluck it. Hence some of the next verses. Notice verse number 3. There's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Letter C, there's a time of conquest. Solomon mentioned first natural birth and natural death. And now Solomon says there's a time for people to be born and there's a time to kill. There's a time for people to die and there's a time to heal. Now, there's certainly he's speaking about sickness. He's speaking about plagues. He's speaking about maybe natural spread. I suppose it would be fair for us to just say a pandemic could apply in that case. There's a time, there's a season for that. It most certainly could relate to death on the battlefield. The word kill carries the idea of a purposeful decision. I understand that we live in a world that always wants peace and cries out for peace. And in fact, if you believe the Bible and you believe in freedom, you're almost told that you are intolerant and that you really shouldn't take a stand for anything. But you know the Bible says a lot about punishment for crime. The Bible speaks about death penalties. The Bible speaks a lot about that. There's a time of execution. I know that's not popular in our country, and I understand that very few states even practice such a thing, but the truth of the matter is there has always been throughout history and certainly throughout the Bible consequences and punishment for crimes. Solomon said there's a time for that. There's an abundance of verses on that. Sometimes people get the consequences of their decisions. Sometimes they just get time. And they're left to sit in a prison. But then he said, there's a time to heal. I'm glad that some folks get well. Aren't you? I mean, there is a time when God may call believers home. There is a time when your loved ones may pass on. But I'm glad that some folks heal. I'm glad that over time you have been healed. Can you imagine if every sickness that we've ever encountered would lead ultimately straight to death? Well, none of us would be here. Or we'd all live inside of a white plastic bubble. There's a time that God allows for healing, and that's wonderful. There's a time of renewing that takes place. There's a lot of pictures there about revival. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord is the great physician. By the way, can I tell you this? God who can heal your physical body is also the same God who can heal your heart. He's the same God that can heal and mend broken hearts. He's the same God that can heal your marriages and relationships. There's a time to heal. Letter D, there's a time of crumbling. time to break down and a time to build up. The word break down carries the idea, or the words, of demolition. We just had work day a few days ago. Thank you to those who came and gave a little bit of their time. One of the great beauties of work day is there's always lots of things that we get rid of. The question usually becomes, preacher, do you want to keep this? Do you want to keep that? What do you want to do with this? What do you want to do with that? I've learned this. We don't have enough space around here. And so over the last several years, I've gotten a little wiser, and my answer seems to be, don't ask me, and I don't have to know about it. And if I don't know about it, then it won't matter. And so if you come to me and say, there was something in my Sunday school class and it got thrown away, I can honestly look at you and say, I don't know what happened to it. There may be a time for things to be broken down, things to be removed. Now, that's a silly and simple physical picture, but you know, there's a time, there are times in your heart when some things need to be removed. The Bible speaks about you building up walls of hardness. They need to be broken down. Sometimes you allow bitterness to stay, and it grows, and that needs to be rooted out or broken down. Sometimes unforgiveness, the list goes on, and if it stays there, it can be harmful. Sinful habits need to be crushed, and they need to be broken down. Breaking down is a matter of resolve. Job 11, the Bible says, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. I mean, you may have to decide and determine there are some things that really matter and I must have in my life, but there are some other things they've got to go. There's a season for that. In Jules Verne's novel, The Mysterious Island, he tells of five men who escaped a Civil War prison camp and they hijacked a hot air balloon. I can think of faster vehicles to be a getaway, but nonetheless. And when they got the balloon in the air, the wind carried them over the ocean. And what happened, they couldn't have anticipated or planned, but the wind and the air pressure, the barometric pressure, started to push the balloon down. And so, at the first go-around, they started to cast overboard some things that they said, well, we don't really need those. They threw over some jackets, and they all took their shoes off and threw them over. And they threw over some weapons and said, we don't need these. And for a short space, the balloon rose, but then after a little while, the pressure began to build and the balloon began to sink again. So the second time around, they decided there must be some other things that we can get rid of and that we don't need. So this time, they cast out all of their food. For a short space, the balloon rose, and then for the third time, it began to sink again. Finally, in desperation, the men decided there's only one way that we'll be able to survive, and with land in sight, they grabbed a hold of the ropes and they cut the basket and let it drop with everything else that was in it. And with them, those men hanging onto those ropes, they were able to make it across that last piece of ocean waters to safety. They figured out that there's only a few things that really matter, and what mattered most was their life. Now, the truth of the matter is, we all have some things at times in our life could stand to go. You remember the writer of Hebrews said, set aside or lay aside every weight and the sin. Solomon said there's a time to build, break down, and there's a time to rebuild or to build up so that we can continue on, so that we can return to the Lord, we can rely on the Lord, we can rest in His grace. What a great picture of the breaking down of sin and the revival that takes place in the heart. Letter E, verse number 4, there's a time of crying. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Times of weeping come pretty often, don't they? Get this statement. Sometimes God uses times of weeping to teach us a lesson. Because it may be the only way we'll learn. Now, maybe you're in a season right now where things have been going really well. Enjoy it. Soak it up and live it up. Because there's a time when weeping comes. And all through the Bible, there's a variety of pictures that God gives us of when and how people weep. People weep when they're in trouble. People weep when they're stressed. People weep when they're afraid. People weep when trials come. Some people weep when they've lost something. We often weep over sin. There's a time of weeping. Times of sadness are going to come. But watch, you should not consistently live in sorrow. There's a season for that. And there may be some moments of dark days, and you can't allow yourself to stay in depression and anger and frustration under the burden of that sorrow. We move forward, and thank God we enjoy the blessings that are here for today. Thank God that there is maybe a time of sorrow, but there is a time to laugh. That's what the Bible says. I'm glad there's a time to laugh. Newsflash, it would do some of you good to laugh. Things like graduations and celebrations and weddings and sporting events. Those are occasions, and the list goes on, that evoke laughter and joy. Isn't it good to have family and friends who are funny and make you laugh? I mean, I've met some really funny people over the years. I don't mean funny looking. That's a different category. Some of you in here are just funny. You can just count on it that you're going to make people laugh at church. It's wonderful to have that kind of a relationship. Sometimes my kids make us laugh so hard it hurts. Sometimes they're goofy and funny. And the older they get, the more hilarious they get. There's a time to laugh. By the way, the Bible says that's good for your health. Merry heart does good like a medicine. Now, maybe you say, boy, preacher, I sure wish I had a merry heart like that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's a choice. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. It's your choice. It'll be your decision whether your lip will continue to drag the ground or you're going to lift your spirit and lift your head. Have a sense of humor. Enjoy laughter. If you have that kind of a demeanor, it's a gift. And some people are just naturally funny, aren't they? I mean, they're just sharp-witted. And if you're like me, you think, man, I wish I was that funny. I wish I was that quick-witted. And some people have that as a gift. Enjoy it. Use it for God's glory. Use it to help somebody turn mourning into laughter. Notice the last part of verse number 4. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. Those are in the same category as the weeping and laughter. There's a time of mourning, and the picture there is that season of mourning and coming out of that mourning being a time of dancing, of sorrow, and then joy. Please don't take this verse out of context. I don't think this crowd will, but don't take this verse out of context and say, boy, them Friday night square dancings, that's it. It's a time and season. That ain't what he's saying. It's all about that season of life, that spring in your step, that excitement of what you have found of a fresh start in life. There's a season of that. Letter F. There's a time of casting. Verse number 5. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Look. This has nothing to do with throwing stones at one another. Some commentators unwisely take this verse out of context and say, well, there's a season for that. It has nothing to do with that. It's a picture from this one verse of what would naturally be a part of the work that is a part of your life. They say that tour guides in Israel will tell you a fable that God gave buckets of stones to angels and told them in creation to scatter them across the world. And one of the angels tripped and poured his entire bucket out in Palestine. And that's the reason why the soil is so rocky there. Now, obviously, that's a story. But I will tell you this. It is a rocky part of the world. That region of the world is full of mountain ranges and large boulders and cliffs and clefts of the rock, and the list goes on. Some farmers, it's taken them years just to clean or clear their land so that they can plow and plant. It's rocky soil. We were in Alabama. My second year of living in Alabama, I decided that I was going to start my first garden by myself. We gardened as a child, but this is going to be my first garden. I bought a tiller, a little hand tiller, and I thought, how hard can this be? You just turn the tiller on, and you break up a little place, and you put a little seed in the ground. That was the hardest, rockiest soil in the world outside of Israel. Not to mention the fact, it's a little, about, I don't know, 24-inch tiller. And I decided in August to break the ground up. Needless to say, I've learned a lot about gardening. It was hard. It was rocky. All I did was bounce the tiller across the ground, and for at least a year, we carried bucket after bucket of rocks out of that little garden spot. But after several years, it started to produce fruit. That's the picture that Solomon's giving us here of the work that goes in. There's a time for you to put forth that effort of casting stones out of your life, of putting forth the effort of building and working and the sweat and the toil and the labor of maybe you building a retirement or maybe you building a home or what. There's a time for that. There's a time for you casting those things out. In fact, in 2 Kings chapter 3, it mentions that if you fill up your enemy's field with rocks, that's an act of vengeance toward them. Don't go getting any ideas. But isn't it amazing that a stone, there's a time to cast, and there's a time to gather. Do you ever think about this? A stone, in and of itself, is neutral. It is neither good or bad. But it can be used for both. In the Bible, what was it that David killed the Goliath with? In the Bible, if a person was found taken in adultery, they were taken into the city and they were stoned. I mean, there's all kinds of pictures. Jesus used a stone as an illustration. Remember when they brought the woman taken in adultery and Jesus said to those, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first." The stone is not inherently evil. It can be used to build roadways and to build walls. It can be used for great things. But at the same time, it can also be a picture that if you have stumbling stones, blocks in your life, there's a time to cast them out. Because it can hinder your growth for the Lord. There's a time of casting. Letter G, there's a time of clinching. We're not going to make it to verse 8. Notice the last part of verse number 5. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Well, that's as simple as it sounds. In the Bible times, there was, in the Middle East, people hugged and kissed when they greeted one another. How about that? They didn't know anything about viruses and everything else that comes along with it. Now, aren't you glad we don't do that? I am. I don't know about you. I mean, I don't mind shaking your hand as you come or go from church, but I don't want to kiss you. I sure don't want you kissing me. But in Bible times, there's a time for greeting. There's a time of embrace. Life is full of moments when we're going to meet and greet people. There's a time for that. I suppose there's a lot of pictures about what that looks like in our world of the political structure of pat somebody on the back. It's all about wining and dining and banqueting somebody. There's a season for meeting folks, but enough of the banquets and enough of patting folks on the shoulders. Let's get some work done. There's a season for embracing and not embracing. I suppose this could be applied to the relationship with your spouse. There's a place and a time for you to be intimate. There's a time when that's appropriate, and there's a time when it ain't appropriate. Everybody okay with that? You ever been in the grocery store and seen somebody that maybe ain't got any fence or ain't been married long or both. And you think, it's a time to embrace, there's a time not to embrace. That's the picture. Well, let's stop there. That sounds like a good stopping point. I was trying to think in my mind as I'm talking about that. How do I cut it off? I just did. How about that? Father, thank you for the opportunity to study the Word of God. And Lord, help us to recognize some of these seasons that are in our own life. Help us, Lord, to see the fact that we live and we walk in the same scenarios. And I pray that you'll allow us to recognize that there are areas, certainly the next three verses of our life, where some things need to go, that we'll recognize that we need to get rid of them. Help us in the last few minutes of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Take out your prayer.